Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Hello and welcome to Contemplations. I'm here with Josh today.
Hello. Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the drug war, which is a topic that both of us are actually interested in and both of us prepared a little bit about it. And Josh will start off with kind of an introduction into the situation, what we have, where we are, and what it's like. And then we can move on to discuss various kind of aspects of it, of drugs and the drug war and everything that comes into it.
Sure. So I've kind of taken a country as a case study, which is the United States, funnily enough, because they're the ones that kind of shape the world's drug policy through influencing the UN, which therefore tries to influence other countries. And I think that's relatively explicit as well. It's not like they're trying to hide that. So the Drug Enforcement Administration currently gets a $3.5 million budget. I think that's the 2021 figure, which equates to about $6,500 a minute. So they get a lot of money from the taxpayer that was taken from them unrightfully. But nevertheless, the Cato Institute estimates that the war on drugs costs about $41 billion a year, and that had this been, say, reversed and there was legalization, it could actually flip the other way and generate revenue of $106.7 billion. And that is a combination of both the reduced spending on the drug war plus the tax revenue.
So that's per year?
Yeah, per year. Okay. And I'd like to look at some FBI stats, just looking at US arrests for drug abuse violations and the percent of distribution. But I'm not looking at the distribution by region, which is something that you can look at in the link in the reading list. So for sale and manufacture, these represent a total of 13.3% of arrests, which is quite small considering that this would be surely what they are most focused on overall. And of course, there's less of them. So by merit of just the sheer probability of arrests, it's going to be lower, but still 13.3% when they are the main focus isn't necessarily great. And out of that 13.3%, heroin and cocaine represent 4.2% of all sale and manufacturing arrests. Marijuana, 2.9%. Synthetic or manufactured drugs, which you'd think would be most of them, only represents 1.7%. And other dangerous narcotic drugs, 4.4%.
Right.
So if you want to know what those factors mean, it goes into more detail in the link, which will be down below. And for possession, the arrests, of course, are 86.7%, which is just the other side of the sale and manufacturing arrests. And heroin and cocaine represent about 20%, marijuana 32%, synthetic or manufactured drugs 4%, and other dangerous narcotic drugs 31%.
Right.
So that should give us a relatively accurate picture about how much is being spent and how it's actually having an effect on arrests.
Right. And so these figures are just something, just like an overall picture of some of the effects of the drug war, but of course there are a lot more effects, right? So there's not just effects on there's not just arrests and there's not just the money spent, but there's loads of other kind of consequences that come with it, right? And so you can, for example, look at well, what I found interesting is actually what I wanted to read a quote about. That is from the 2011 report of the Global Commission on Drug Policy, which is that, quote, drug policies were initially developed and implemented in the hope of achieving outcomes in terms of a reduction in harms to individuals and society, less crime, better health, and more economic and social development. However, we have primarily been measuring our success in the war on drugs by entirely different measures, those that report on processes, such as the number of arrests, the amount seized, or the harshness of punishments. These indicators may tell us how tough we are being, but they do not tell us how successful we are in improving the health and welfare of mankind. And so this is a very important point, right? Because this is actually what you've done as well, right? In the kind of introduction.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about how much money is being spent on it and what kind of arrests are being made. But that are the indicators of what is being done, mm-hmm. and not what is being achieved, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because the point of the drug war is supposed to be kind of to lessen the effects of drugs on the population and kind of mitigate its bad effects, right? And so things like that. And so these things are always kind of, at least it seems to me, like they're always the secondary consideration, and the primary consideration is, well, how much are we spending? How much are we arresting? I don't know if that's your view as well.
Well, from my kind of understanding of it, the amount that's being spent doesn't seem, well, obviously it affects the arrest, but it doesn't affect the base drug use, which is the entire purpose. Mm-hmm. The rationale behind the war on drugs, which was, I think, started by Nixon in 1971, formally at least, was that the drug use in America was rising, and it has been rising ever since, pretty much independent of any government policy. It seems to be that although there have been further and further attempts to control what people are doing, it's not really having an effect on the overall numbers. Sure, they're catching larger and larger numbers of people, but the numbers are growing at a rate that means that it's not really impacting it in a meaningful way in which they intend. And I've actually seen somewhere online, although I wasn't able to work it out for myself, that there are currently more US drug offenders in prison than all criminals in Europe combined. Which is, I obviously don't know how true that is, because I didn't work it out for myself, and I tend not to trust anything I see online. But
I mean, it could be possible, because the US has a massive prison population compared to Europe, so that's...
It at least rang true to me. Yeah. And I think that this is something that even if you have no kind of horse in the race, so to speak, just the sheer amount of government spending on this issue and it not getting better... is a very practical way of looking at it. And I think it's probably fair to say that we both have similar positions in our approach. Yep. We are very critical on the war on drugs.
Yep.
And I imagine that some of you are probably in favour of it and think that it's a good thing, and that, you know, prohibiting anything that alters your mind is a good thing, which I would like to kind of examine this, because I am somewhat sympathetic in some ways, in that obviously the desirable end state of being a human being is being perfectly content with being, you know, perfectly sober and having no substance having an effect on your mind. But there's also the fact that this isn't the case in the world, and although it is desirable, perhaps there are some benefits to be had. And some of the research I've looked at into certain both legal and illegal substances suggest that there are at least some possible applications that could be better researched, if I'm being very conservative about it.
So to what you said about the effectiveness of the war on drugs, I kind of remember this graph that I've seen somewhere on the internet. Couldn't find it now, but it's there's basically two lines starting in 1970, I think, because that's, as you said, when the war on drugs was ramped up. It had existed before, but it was massively ramped up then. And so from then, the two lines on the graph, they show... One of them shows the amount of spending that's being spent, well, on the war on drugs, and the other one on the rate of addiction among the population, right? And the first line goes like this, right? Like massively up. And the second line just continues like straight down.
So it seems like they're not in any way related to one another.
Yeah. And also that also kind of is reiterated by research. I've got a quote by The Economist here. They say that fear of legalization is based in large part of the presumption that more people would take drugs under a legal regime. That presumption may be wrong. There is no correlation between the harshness of drug laws and the incidence of drug taking. Citizens under tough regimes, notably America but also Britain, take more drugs, not fewer. Embarrassed drug warriors blame this on alleged cultural differences, but even in fairly similar countries, tough rules make little difference to the number of addicts. Harsh Sweden and more liberal Norway have precisely the same addiction rates. And so that's kind of harsh language towards those who support the war on drugs, but the point is that, right, so, which is what I've seen repeatedly when I was researching for this, that you have some people who are addicted to drugs and the kind of proportion of those to the whole population that basically doesn't change. I mean, it might fluctuate a little bit. It might be affected by other factors rather than the war on drugs, but the actual war doesn't affect it too much.
Yeah, that seems perfectly reasonable to me. And of course, with the facts that, you know, there's such a large number of people using drugs in the modern day, it raises ethical issues about whether governments are actually acting with the consent of their citizens. So you've got figures like half of all adults in the United States have tried smoking marijuana, for example. And I mean, if half of people in the country have done something, is it really possible to criminalize that? As in, sure, you can have the law and you can still enforce it if you want, but where's the actual utility in enforcing something? Of course, there are areas that have legalized it now, but it's not legal in all states. But what is the purpose of doing so when it's such a large majority of people? Clearly, any attempts at regulation here are going to be, you know, useless. And you can kind of look at that, looking at things like prohibition of alcohol in the United States.
And I just wanted to clarify a little bit what you just said, that you said that regulation is going to be useless. But I think a better kind of characterization of the situation is that all prohibition attempts is going to be useless, because you have massive amounts of regulations of, for example, alcohol or tobacco, right?
That's what I meant. Yeah.
I know. I just misspoke. That's why I'm clarifying it. This is what it's like, right? It's not like, well, some people always argue against the ending the drug war, are you going to let kids have the drugs or something like that, or like kids are going to have access to it, things along those lines, right? And so I don't know how these people imagine the world works, honestly, because I can understand the worry, you know, and they're coming from a good place, but at the same time, we are talking about the same world or not, in like the world that we're living in, the addictive substances that we normally use in our society and culture, they are restricted and they are kind of not. A lot of people go to great lengths to prevent people from kind of becoming addicted to them, and especially from children taking them and children having access to them, right? So all countries have laws against children drinking alcohol, for example, and people who give alcohol to children or sell alcohol to children are typically punished very harshly. In some countries, of course, that is not enforced too well because it happens too much. But I mean, then we're moving into something that is very much cultural, and there's very little often you can do about that, as you just said, with the prevalence of some drugs. And so I feel like this is, when we're talking about decriminalization or legalization of drugs, you have these kind of worries, but these worries are based on the idea that you kind of legalize it and then it's going to be just like in every chocolate bar, right, or something like that. But that's not how it works with the addictive substances that are legal today. So why would you kind of not put them in the same category, which would be kind of the sensible view, in my opinion.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.